This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Do you have a pipeline in your future, the Keystone Pipeline, to bring oil from the shale and tar sands of Canada to refineries in the Gulf? Maybe the first item to test the new political realignment in Washington, D.C. We will look generally at the GOP agenda after the crushing defeat for Democrats on Tuesday as well. We'll think back on the 1984 Bhopal disaster that happened 30 years ago this coming December, with actor Cal Penn, who's in a new movie that takes a complex look at the encounter between America's love of technology and India's need for economic development and the tragic results of that disaster. But we begin with a pipeline that will end up on Obama's desk, and he will have a decision to make, to veto or not to veto. Is this a crossroads moment for the environmental movement in America? Joining me now to discuss is Ilana Shore, energy reporter for Politico. Ilana, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, hard question right at the top. Does the change in leadership in the Congress mean that the Keystone Energy Pipeline ceases to be a big national environmental issue and becomes something more of a public works detail?
That's an interesting way of describing it, because I think that's how Republicans hope that it starts being viewed by, you know, their colleagues in Congress and folks in the White House. Environmental groups are pushing back as hard as they ever have to keep this on the radar as a climate change issue. So I would answer your question by saying it depends on who wins this framing battle, if you will. Is this all about, you know, saving the planet from global warming, or is it just a public works project that can create some jobs, have some good economic impact? What we do know for sure is that Republicans have the votes to beat a filibuster of this pipeline. They do not yet have the votes to beat a veto. Environmentalists, critics of this pipeline, are confident they'll get that veto, but we don't know.
And there are enough Democrats who will vote for it that might give President Obama pause on that veto question.
It really comes down, in my mind, having followed this pipeline for so long, to who can get the maximum benefit if they have to sort of sacrifice their preferred position. So if the president is going to effectively give in to the GOP by ending the review of this project that he wants to let run its course, maybe until next year or beyond into the next administration, what is the president going to get for it? When these takeovers happen, like we saw on Tuesday, you know, now you have this all GOP Congress with a president of the opposite party. The turf seems ripe to make a deal on something, but it really depends on whether one or the other side doesn't overreach. Keystone will definitely be a part of those negotiations.
You know, I'm wondering if the timing here is suddenly, resetting the entire debate, because with oil prices down to $80 a barrel, all of a sudden those supposedly limitless fossil fuel options up in Canada are not as economical as they used to be. And this pipeline might end up looking a little bit more like a boondoggle over the next couple of months.
Absolutely. I mean, but not to the Canadians, let's be clear. This makes them more excited than ever. You actually saw one Canadian legislator on a local level excitedly post on Twitter that, you know, he can't wait for Keystone to get approved right now because Canada really needs it. And that has everything to do with low oil prices. Folks in the Canadian industry won't admit this, and they certainly have a lot of other options. They just launched this $12 billion pipeline to their own Atlantic coast called Energy East. They won't admit this, but they need as many opportunities to get that oil to market as possible, or else it starts becoming, as you said, just uneconomic in these times.
At $80 a barrel, does the oil coming from the sands in Canada, does it make a profit?
Yes and no. Yeah, it's very tempting for us to judge Canadian crude by this $80 benchmark that actually signifies the U.S. type of crude. Canada, some folks don't know, has its own benchmark. So while we look at the difference between U.S. and global crude prices to judge our own industry, Canada is looking at the difference between Canada and U.S. prices, because that's, you know, we're their main competitor on this continent. And given that Canada's dollar is so weak right now, that's cushioning some of the blow, but it's definitely dicey.
So the number for Canada, to just get down in the weeds here for a second, it would have to slip down to $70 or $60 a barrel to really be ridiculous for the Canadians.
Well, to quote the State Department's own report on Keystone, around $75 a barrel is the start of the quote-unquote tough zone. So we're definitely nearing that questionable point.
Very interesting. All right. Let's look at the domestic political situation. What are the states that most directly benefit, and what are the Democrats in those states saying about the negotiations and the possible deal on Keystone at this point?
Well, the Democrats from the states who would most benefit, a lot of them lost their races on Tuesday.
Isn't that funny how that works? Yeah,
it is. And, you know, before the election, there was some hope among Keystone critics that Republicans would stay short of 60 votes, even if they got the majority, if they lost seats like Louisiana and Arkansas and Alaska without picking up elsewhere. But, you know, they came back strong in areas nobody thought they would, and now they're definitely sitting with enough votes to break a filibuster. So what happens to these Democrats who might support Keystone? You could see some of them change their tune, because we don't know in what format Republicans will bring up this pipeline. They could package it as part of a big energy bill that includes offshore drilling expansions, other environmental rollbacks that Democrats would just find too unpalatable. You know, when you have a night like Tuesday and you're the Republicans, it's very appealing to maybe risk overreaching and just try to do everything you want. But we could see Keystone go from a sure thing to far less than that if all these Democrats flee.
Well, you could also package it with immigration, which would be a whole different political calculation. What is the chance that Obama vetoes and this Congress manages to override? How much of a defeat would that be for the White House?
It's a very long shot at this point, but the fact that it's even a possibility that we could see Republicans, should they moderate their ambitions and get enough Democrats, come close to a veto-proof margin, that would be a serious defeat. You've got to see the White House just cutting a deal and okaying it to avoid that, because they get no benefit.
Alana Shore is an energy reporter for Politico, talking about the future of the Keystone Energy Pipeline. Thanks so much, Alana.
Thank you.